Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
That was a little strange the way they ended it there, but there was some questions about submitting documents and does everybody have the same material and should it be submitted or not, since Mr. Judge was not going to be present for their cross-examination or questioning. And then it sounds like Senator Grassley said, well, let's just take a break here. And he banged the gavel and said they would reconvene in 45 minutes. It is 1:16. This is WGN Radio. I'm John Williams.
So, but it sounds like she's done then, right? And well, so Kavanaugh would come back after that.
I guess when he said we'll reconvene, he didn't say that she will be back here. And it sounded like he was dismissing her.
He said he was going to thank her, maybe, unless he's going to bring her back to thank her.
But it's just so strange to me, Steve, because then Ms. Mitchell, Rachel Mitchell, the prosecutor, what was the point of all of that? Maybe that was the only point of it, but I was under the expectation that she would then, I don't know, say something about the credibility of her as a witness or, you know,
sum it all up.
Score some point. There was no summary. It was just this sort of peppering of questions.
Well, remember, Mitchell is filling in for senators. She's not there as a prosecutor with a closing argument or opening argument. She's asking questions in 5-minute increments, the way a senator would, and there wouldn't be a senator wrapping it up at the end either, I don't think.
No, but the senators would at least be sort of summarizing their own points. They would be saying, therefore, X, Y, and Z. But instead, you just had for a few hours now just a string of questions. Were you there? Did this happen? Did somebody say that? Do you know about this?
Right. Yeah, on the other side, you had the Democrats making those political points, or those points about the FBI investigation or the bravery or
something
like that.
Sure, so roll your eyes all you want about Cory Booker's heroism speech, but at least they were making succinct points. And then there was the other side just, again, having a string of questions that she was answering. To what end, I failed to see.
Early on, I wondered if it was set up, you know, if she had prepared as if she was going to give, you know, it's hard to create a string or a line of questioning if you're interrupted every 5 minutes.
Totally. The format does not favor the Republicans or the prosecutor in this case.
Well, yeah, she's an interrogator, a questioner. I don't think she's a prosecutor.
Right,
so much.
She's not on trial.
And I don't know if she's going to be doing that for the Republicans for the Kavanaugh segment or not.
I don't either.
I suspect she probably will be. I don't know.
I mean, my guess would be that the reverse would be true. Now, the Republicans would be happy to speak freely about the integrity of Brett Kavanaugh. Maybe less so now, having heard all of this. My view was that she was credible. She was authentic. She was believable. I'll tell you what, though. I was watching Fox News when they broke for lunch. And here are just some of the holes, if you will, that another perspective would provide. They interviewed a prosecutor when they broke for lunch who said, was this in fact a sexual assault? We're describing this as Dr. Ford surviving a sexual assault. Was it? Because it was an unsuccessful sexual encounter. At no point did she say her clothes were removed. The prosecutor that guessed it on Fox News, since it was a fumbled attempt to make out with a girl at a party, there's no corroboration here. It's a recovered memory, which is subject to problems. So really, if we are going to, again said the prosecutor on Fox News, prosecute all 17-year-old boys who put a move on a girl, we're going to have a big problem here. And that's what we had in that bedroom. We had a couple of guys putting a move on a girl, and she got away. And that's all it was the commentary that they provided on the other side. And when asked, do you find her credible, they said, no, we don't think she's credible. And that breaking voice of hers may not have been from the trauma recollecting the event all those years ago. It may have been just from sitting there on the spotlight. Anybody would be nervous if they testified before the whole world and in the Senate committee, but maybe it was more that than actually what she was reliving when she was sitting there. Never did she shed a tear, did they also point out on Fox. So that's just, if you're wondering, well, what does another side think about that? At least there's that. But I found her to be duly credible, so much so that the Democrats didn't need to grandstand. I thought she was doing just a fine job. One other point about this. As she was fumbling, rereading things, asking what the question was again, sort of the give and take that she had with the questioner was eating up the five-minute allotments of time. I don't know if that was calculated on her part or not. She didn't seem to be calculated, but either way, I'm sure that the Republicans are like, get to the point here. And there was no speed, there was no urgency to her answers, or for that matter, the questions. Of course, she didn't want to sort of press too diligently because that would look bad, wouldn't it? So that's where, and then bang, Grassley says, okay, we've had enough. We're all tired here. She's got the big bottle of Coke now. She had asked for caffeine at the beginning, and so they rested. And they're supposed to resume at 2 o'clock, and presumably with Judge Kavanaugh then. Now, you've got something to say or a comment to make, I'd be interested. 312-981-7200. What did you think? This is WGN. My number's 312-981-7200. Sue wanted to say something. You're on WGN. Hi, Sue. You're on the air.
Hi, John. I just wanted to point out that Senator Grassley very carefully stopped the clock every time Dr. Ford was researching her documents to find the answers to questions.
I see. Yeah,
and
I know
in the background, you could hear him say, start the clock, when she started answering.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for pointing that out. I know that there were times where he was doing that. I don't know how on off he was doing that. Maybe every instance there was a pause, they did that. The whole give and take, though, sure did not seem to make the attorney that they'd asked, Rachel Mitchell, it sure didn't make her job easy. We all have to admit that. And I think that in retrospect, I wonder if they played this out in their head, if they said, okay, we're going to universally cede all of our time to her and let her do the questioning. Did they anticipate that it would be paused every 5 minutes? And, you know, so the senators don't get to score points or make summaries or put a bow on it. It just rather ended abruptly. So, you know, I wonder, they must have thought that through. But as it played out in front of them, it didn't look very good.
I was surprised. In my mind, I was expecting her to have more time to question Blasey Ford. But I'm sure the Republicans set up the hearing, so I'm sure they must have been aware of it. So and she must have been aware of that in formulating her line of questioning.
Yeah, right. I mean, right. So I wonder if she comes back, or maybe now the Republican senators will do what she was unable to do when Judge Kavanaugh is up there, and that is, you know, start to analyze what Dr. Ford said, be able to say, well, she said that, but is that credible? Or she said this, but it disagrees with that, because we just didn't get any summary on it.
Lindsey Graham was talking to reporters afterward, and he said that he thought she was credible, that something happened, but he said, you know, she wasn't able to pick out the house where it happened or things like that, and so he seemed to be sort of diminishing her argument in that way, you know, that she didn't remember a lot of the specifics that she probably should have.
Yeah, and she addressed that head on. I'm 100% certain when asked specifically, what do you remember? I believe it was Senator Klobuchar who said, a lot has been said about what you don't recall. Tell us what you do. She said, I remember the stairwell. I remember going down the hall. I remember being pushed into the bedroom. I remember a bed to the right. You know, she kind of walked through that. Now, does she remember the address or whose house it was? You know, some of those details, no, she does not. Do you find that credible or do you find that problematic? There's the question for the senators and for all of us. Hey, Matt, you're on WGN. Thanks for holding. What do you want to say?
All hail King John. John, that is one of the bravest women I have ever seen in my entire life. She may be a doctor of psychology, but the fact is she does not have the training of, let's say, Hillary Clinton, who sat there for 11 hours. She is not a politician, and she sat there, and they were looking for a gotcha moment, and they didn't get one, because there is none. That man is guilty. And the fact that she stood up there and recounted the worst moment of her life in front of the entire nation, hell, that woman deserves a medal.
Thank you for the call, Matt. We're going from you to Mary. You're on WGN. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Oh, Mary Alice.
Oh, that's you. Go right ahead.
Hi, John.
Hi.
I just want to interject two words. I've been listening to all of it very closely, and the thought occurred to me that Brian Williams created a false memory that he believed was true, or embellished a memory that he believed was true. I believe that something happened to Dr. Ford, but I also believe she's played it in her mind, made it larger than it was. I think that this is a false memory. Not that it happened, but that it has been embellished.
Thank you for the call, Mary. Greg, you're on WGN. What do you want to say, Greg? You're on the air.
Hi, John. You were talking about how she kept repeating, asked for the questions to be repeated. Isn't that the same tactic that Mark Zuckerberg used when he was up there answering for Facebook? He would address the senators, and he would ask them to repeat the question, and he would speak very slowly, and it would burn up their 5 minutes of time. Did he do that?
I know what you're talking about, and Zuckerberg was terrible when he was asked to testify. In her case, was it calculated, or was she just not used to testifying? She's not an attorney. She's not a politician. She said she was terrified to be there. I don't know what her motive was, but either way, unless Grassley was on off with the clock, it had to be killing the questioner because it was going slowly. You're absolutely right about that. Greg, thanks for the call. Elif said, let's take a break. Steve will do the news, and we'll continue to take your questions and listen to your observations. Call or text 312-981-7200. I'm John Williams. Judge Kavanaugh will get his chance to speak to them, and we think that'll be around 2 o'clock. They broke around 1:15. Senator Grassley said they would pause for about 45 minutes. That'll get us to 2 o'clock, and we'll carry his opening remarks in their entirety, and then we'll provide as much of the interaction with the other senators as we possibly can. We've heard virtually all of what happened in the first half today. And so you are chiming in now at 312-981-7200, and we'll pick up some phone calls or take some text messages. What stood out to you? Did you think she seemed credible or not? Does this maybe shift somebody's thinking? I follow the president on Twitter. Me and, 35 million other people. And I noticed that he has not tweeted about this so far today.
He put off the Rosenstein meeting, right?
No, I did not.
Yes, because he said he didn't want to take away from the hearing.
Well, that's probably wise. I mean, think about that. That was an all-morning affair for us. And if the president was meeting with Rosenstein, he would not have been able to watch this. It's funny.
Well, do you think he's sitting there watching 8 hours of this?
I think the president would have, should have, or could have.
Really?
I would not have faulted him for that. Shoot, he watches golf and Fox News and anything else he wants to watch. I don't think this would have been a poor use of the president's time, particularly since the president has the option of withdrawing the nomination. He was asked if he was going to do that. He said, well, we'll see. I'm not so concerned about that. It seems to me like the way this is going to play out is he going to get 51 votes or not? That's the question. And that's for the senators, not for the president. But if you said Donald Trump blew off his meeting with Rosenstein, blew off, canceled it, because he wanted to watch this, me, I'm okay with that. Frankly, I actually thought that his press conference was still going on and he didn't have time.
Well, he kind of telegraphed yesterday that he was going to do that today. But, I guess that makes sense if he's watching it with the idea of whether he's going to withdraw the nomination or support it. But
my goodness, of all of the things.
Don't know. I just think you do more. There's more things to do, too.
I, yesterday, left here just about the time the press conference was about to start, and I went to the Secretary of State's office. I got my vehicle sticker replaced, stood in that line. Then I walked over, caught the red line, took it up to Wrigley, walked from the Addison stop to our condo on Halstead, and was kind of futzing around the house and turned on TV. And I thought, why are they rerunning the press conference? It was still on! Hokey smokes! That's the longest press conference, and Donald Trump loves those things. He just loves riffing and firing. You got to admit, this is an unfiltered presidency. You don't have to worry or wonder what the guy's thinking. He was given it. So maybe he's watching too, but he has not shared his thoughts so far today about the first half of the hearing. I will pick up a couple of phone calls here. Let's start with Ann. You're on WGN Radio. Hi, Ann. You're on the air.
Well, good afternoon. First, John, let me preface this. I have four brothers, two sons, one husband. work 95% in a man's industry, and I'm fairly certain that somewhere along the line something really stupid has happened. I listened to Ms. Ford today, Dr. Ford, in between feeding farmers, and I thought she was very credible, but I would like to say this. I do think if Brett Kavanaugh would have got out in front of this early, would have said, you know what, I did some pretty stupid stuff when I was in high school and college, and, you know, we're not going to talk about it, but I admit to it. I think people could have forgiven that. I think people don't expect a perfect person, but I think they expect an honest person. And I haven't decided which way I would vote yet, but that's my feeling.
I'm really glad you called. You know, Wendy, Bill and Wendy got done with their show and came into, Wendy swung by my office, and we were talking about that, and she asked me that very question. She said, what do you think if he would have said, yeah, I got drunk, I did stupid stuff, that may have been me. If it was, I feel terrible about it. I don't think it was me, but either way, I'm really sorry if that happened. You know, if he kind of did what you're suggesting, would we have forgiven him and let him be on the Supreme Court? I don't know the answer to that.
We won't know the answer to that, but I really think this whole thing would have got downplayed, and I really think when you come forward and you're honest, people are very forgiving, and I think people just want all this divisiveness to quit, and let's get on with it.
I don't agree. I think that if she came out with the detail of her statement today, and he admitted to that, I think it would be very difficult for him to move forward. I mean, with the graphic details that she mentioned, I understand what you're saying. And
look who we elected presidents to.
But we don't have the populace voting here. We've got 100 senators. I think if it had been more generic, like, yes, the Clintons, not done great things in my marriage, that's one thing. But when you say, did you put your hand over someone's face while she was screaming out, I think would have been hard for him to survive.
I'm saying if he had done this, you know, a month ago when this whole stuff, whole thing started to surface. But perhaps you're right. I'm just saying that is what I think.
I think it's an interesting question. Listen, thank you for the call.
So we'll never know.
Okay, Ann.
Are you welcome.
You have a good day. Yeah, I think that conversation is being held in a lot of shops and houses and workplaces today. Our texts include, John, it's good to see women having the back of other women. Shocking, the call from the woman throwing her under the bus because of Brian Williams' tainted memory. What's that all about? 708 said, too many holes in her memory and in her story. I don't believe her. 847 said, where was Dr. Ford's civic duty when Judge Kavanaugh was being nominated to the third highest court? That was 12 years ago. Why didn't she come forward then? Let's go to Marilyn. Marilyn, not the state, the person. Hey, Marilyn, you're on WGN.
She should be an actress. She sounded like she didn't know what was going on and was looking for answers all the time. I don't believe her at all. And where were her parents? She was 15. Didn't she come home drunk, seeing as she didn't know how she got there and who brought her?
She said she wasn't drunk.
Where was she in the meantime?
She said she wasn't drunk, that she'd had one beer. And I'll tell you what her answer...
Oh, baloney. Come on.
And I'll tell you what her answer was when asked, why didn't you tell your parents? She said, I thought that if I told my parents I was at an unsupervised party with no adults and that there was beer...
No, that wasn't what I said. Where were her parents?
I don't know where her parents were, but I'll tell you why she didn't tell her parents. And she said, I thought I would get in trouble.
Found out somehow because she came home drunk.
Okay, well, thanks for the phone call. That's your opinion. It's absolutely not what she testified or anybody else has confirmed, but you can think she was drunk if you want, but she said she was not. And nobody else has said that she was. Other women who have accused Justice Kavanaugh of assault have said that they were drinking, but she has not said that she had anything more than a beer. Mike, you're on WGN. What do you want to say, Mike? You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? I've been trying to listen to this thing and everything like that. She's got way too many holes in her story. The one prosecutor asked her questions and read a letter, and then she changed words on the letter that she wanted to change because she didn't mean to change it. I mean, and then you got two guys who come out already and say, "Hey, you were the two guys that did it." Not even Kavanaugh, and you know, she's just got way too many holes. I mean, like the second one, you know, was at a party at Yale. You know, how many people go to parties and stuff happens at parties? I mean, there's a lot of drinking. You know, first of all, she's 15 or 16. Why was she drinking in the first place? I mean, she went to a party that was supposedly only two girls and four guys. I mean, there's just a lot of holes. You know, why wait 36 years? That's the thing I don't understand the most. Is how could you even allow it 36 years later? You know, I don't get it. I just don't think she's got too many holes in her stories to me.
Okay, thanks for the call. You know, you could spend all day on a call like that, but that's just where some people are. She was with friends at the pool. There was going to be a party later that night. She wasn't allowed to be out that late, so she wasn't going to go to a party, but they did go to somebody's house. She recalls six people that were there. There may have been more people there. When she arrived, she said she could tell the judge and Kavanaugh had been drinking and were acting drunk. She had one beer there. She went up the stairs. She said that they tried to, she was afraid, rape her, but you know the scene. They pushed her down. They groped her. They tried to remove her clothes. They had trouble because she had a one-piece bathing suit on underneath. She had been at the pool. When Judge jumped on Kavanaugh, she was able to escape. She ran out into the bathroom and locked the door. Eventually, she heard them go back down the stairs. And when they left, she then went back down the stairs and got out of there. And that's her story. Are there a lot of holes in that? Why did she wait all of these years? If you're paying attention to this conversation nationally, and that's the way the Democratic senators were painting it, weren't they? Whatever the outcome is for Justice Kavanaugh, they were just having a dialogue about sexual assault of women and why they don't report. That 2/3 of women say that they have not reported their sexual assaults all of these years later. When we just broached the subject briefly a few days ago, got a bunch of texts from one woman who said, "I said it the first time in my life. This week, I'm 70. She said, "My sister said that our uncle had assaulted her on her deathbed." I don't know why women don't say, but clearly a lot of women don't. And as she said, "I didn't think I would be believed. I thought I would get in trouble. That's why I didn't say it at the time." But some people just aren't going to have that. And so there we are.
Well, also keep in mind, you know, you heard more of it than I did, but if the Democrats spent all of their time talking about other women, not Ford so much, you know, look, this is political too. And the Democrats are going to rely on those other women around the country to vote for them and against the people who approve or vote for Judge Kavanaugh coming up.
I thought Senator Grassley's opening remarks were compelling in describing how much obfuscation the Democrats engaged in. If they really wanted to sort of get to the truth, they could have used this many days between the letter first surfacing and today to do a more thorough investigation, but they felt that the Democrats were not cooperative. He made that case clearly today. John, I'm dumbfounded by how many men are supporting Ford and how many women think she's making it up. Again, I asked the Trumpian, says another texter, would this be your position if that was your child, sister, or wife? I wonder if any of the Trump women, and they are a few, and they are well known, I wonder if any of them are going to say anything about this. Are they going to weigh in? So far, they have been quiet about it. This is WGN. Another batch of your phone calls and texts coming up. Let's talk on line 4 to Dana. You're on WGN. Dana, what did you want to say? You're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say I'm frustrated with some of the people that I'm hearing calling, especially women. I'm in my early 60s, and I hear some women that I have said that their age yesterday and then a couple today that sounded older. I think that they were raised in a time when women were supposed to say, "Oh, well, if you went with that boy, if you did that thing, that's your fault. You shouldn't do that. You deserve that, and you be quiet about it." This has also brought back memories of me for me when I was in sixth grade and a boy that I thought he was going to kiss me by the stairs decided that he wanted to do something else, so he punched me in the stomach. I don't think people realize, even if you take a good story, something good that happened to you, something wonderful, you went on a trip with your parents and you got to drive the boat. If you remember that day you drove the boat, do you remember the day? Do you remember the date? Do you remember who was there? Do you remember where else you went? No, you don't. So there's always going to be holes in your story from 30 or 40 years ago. So it's a bunch of baloney.
Thank you for the phone call, Dana. Lots of ladies are calling in like you. Cheryl, you're on WGN. Hi, Cheryl. What did you want to say?
I second exactly what she said. I have had this happen to me. I'm 58. Never told anybody. When I was listening to this, it just brought up all these memories of it happening, but I couldn't tell you the name of the boy. I couldn't even tell you what house it was in. I wasn't drinking. It was a setup. I was supposed to be going out, and he took me to this home, and we were supposed to pick up somebody. Well, that's not what happened. And I was trapped, and I couldn't tell my parents. I was too embarrassed, because that's exactly what my parents told me. Do not put yourself in that situation.
Did you ever tell your parents?
Never told anybody. You're the first person I told. And I lived with it. And luckily, I was okay. I think it made me stronger in certain ways, but very, very apprehensive about dating for a very long time.
Now that you've told John, will you tell others? No, I'm serious, John. I
see your point, Steve. Sure. I mean, will you make it more personal?
Yeah. I might tell my daughter, who is now 30. I tried to reiterate to all my children. I have two boys and a girl, and my husband died. So they died when my kids were 15, my younger. So I had to raise them during the crazy years.
It must have been hard for you to warn your daughters against something that happened to you without ever telling them that it happened to you.
No, I explained situations that could happen. And I wanted her to always tell me.
Did you tell your husband? Did you tell your husband?
I didn't.
I'm out of time, Cheryl. This is a powerful call. I appreciate your candor, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're out of time here.